Bruce Lee to be here tonight?
I says, no. Amanda has been with Sai Baba for 20 years. I says, well, who's Sai Baba? Oh, he's the man that makes things manifest. Thank you. I'm going to be there tonight. I said, see, I asked the night before, and then the next day, I was led there, and that night, this man tells us, shows us movies of him doing those things. I went on and said, God, thank you. Thank you. Who gives transference of spirit? Who can touch you with a magic touch? Then along comes Muktananda. He's giving Shaktipat. Zap. Wow. You ask and you receive. When you're in the presence of God, all things will come to you. But if you're saying, prove it, guess what happens? You won't find one master doing something to prove it to you. They will never prove it to you. The only proof that you will ever go for is you doing it. That's the only proof that you will ever go for. It's if it happens to you in your presence. You see? Not hearsay, not what somebody else has said. I've seen people see the movie and say, oh, it could have been a trick. You know. He probably had somebody bury that statue in the ground and then he just dug it up. In the movie, he says to this, he's walking along with all these devotees, and he says, go pile up the sand somewhere on the beach over there. So this devotee runs over and he piles up the sand. Then Baba goes over and he reaches in the sand and pulls out a golden statue of Shiva. I said, oh, this is great. This is great. Instant manifestation. Why does it have to go through some process? Jesus did it. He took the water and he made it wine. He didn't, you know, he didn't say, okay, add this chemical to it and add that chemical to it, age it a little bit, you know, then we'll pass it off as wine. Yeah. He says, fill those barrels up to overflowing. Then start dipping it up and giving it out. Do it. I was up in Haleakala. And this young man says to me, we've been trudging through the crater, and he says, I forgot the stakes for the tent. I says, well, we'll just manifest them. Baba can do it. He says, be childlike. I reached into this bush and I says, okay. I felt something in my hand come out. It was a metal stake. He says, how'd you do that? Was that laying there? I says, no, God did it. I said, you've got to be innocent like a child. Just say, okay. So I stuck my hand in there, and out come a wooden stake. The first one was metal. He says, well, what happened? How come it's wooden? I says, because you're doubting. He says, well, if you do it again, maybe I'll believe it. So I stuck my hand in there, and guess what? Two twigs. They didn't even look like regular stakes, but you could use them for stakes. They were just two pieces of wood twigs. I says, look at this. I says, when we first began, we had great faith, we had a metal stake. I says, as we kept on doing it, look what happened. You see? You go to your meditation, you have a wonderful meditation. You go to the next one, it's not so wonderful. It's less and less and less. Did you notice that? But about the seventh one, see, after about six times of that, then it jumps back up again. But you know why it gets less and less and less? You start questioning in your mind. You start thinking about it. You start wanting to have the same old thing back again. I want what I had the other day, today. You see? And then your meditation gets worse and worse, and you say, what's wrong? What's wrong? You were innocent going in there for the presence. You were just going into the meditation for the presence. Now you're trying to manipulate it. Now you're trying to make it happen. You surrendered for a moment, you got it. Now you want to go make something happen again. You see? You want to think about it. What was that? And how did that work? You know, and every time you put your mind in the middle of the meditation, you get further from the meditation. And all the thoughts put you, the meditation's over here, and now you have to go through all these thoughts to try to get to the meditation again. So you have to surrender them all again and be there present. You won't find God in thinking about God. You find God with being with God. think he'd put you outside. You can't see God, you can only be with God, because God's being. Right now, being, omni-being, means being everywhere, being, right here, right now. So there's no other time, no space, no time, no space, only here and now. You can't do anything about what's going on an arm length away here unless you use supernatural powers, unless you use something beyond this physical. I wondered in 1974, this one group I was with, they were paying the woman $2,000 a month to have a psychic meditation group to send thoughts to Russia. Now, why would the government pay $2,000 to a group just to send thoughts to Russia if they didn't believe thoughts were things? Well, maybe we better do it or else, you know, it might be true. Because they know those things work. And for that $2,000 a month, she recorded everything that she sent. They would tell us to think at certain places, certain locations. And sometimes they were just lines, certain latitude and longitude lines across. Concentrate there. Send peace there. Send healing there. Return the thoughts, put a mirror up, and let their thoughts go back to them there. So it all. You have power. You have power. And when you get into a group, that group has power. You gain more power. Because now you not only have your own consciousness, you have the group's consciousness. You know what kind of power you have believing in God? You have the power of everyone that believes in God. That's your power. What can stand against it? Not even the gates of hell can stand against it. Not the fires of damnation can stand against that power. That's who you have backing you up. Every other being that believes in God. Did you ever think of being part of that? Your masters, you must have some power other than your own self. One God, presence, 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 constant presence, loving God, praising God, thank you God, I love you God, thank you for this life, thank you for all these beautiful people, thank you for this nation, thank you for this world God, thank you for everything that's going on. Thank you for teaching us patience and understanding. Thank you, God, for love and truth and wisdom. Thank you, God, for your precious presence in us at all times, being there in every moment, every need. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. To give that love and that praise to God. Just loving. I love you. Boy, an overwhelming love will come. God says, you take one step to me, I'll take 100 steps to you. You make a motion towards me, I'll run towards you. It's a full word. What a power you have. It's greater than any of your problems. It's greater than any of your problems, anything that you face. Are you ready to stand there for God's sake? You ready to dress for God's sake? Ready to eat for God's sake? Ready to work for God's sake? Ready to love for God's sake? Are you doing for God's sake or your sake? If you're going to be a spiritual master, it's all for God's sake. You can't serve yourself and serve God too. You can't be self-serving and God-serving. If you're going to serve that all, you must be in it. You must talk from it. You must act from that backing. What do you need? Everyone standing around you physically all the time? Their spirit is constantly with you. Aren't you always praying for those that love God and praying for God's people? Aren't you always praying for God to help everyone that is in trouble? Help you when you're in trouble? You see? Do you pray not receiving? Is it one way? I think it's fruitless prayer. It's because you're not open. You don't believe it. If you don't get it, because you don't believe it. God has never denied me one thing that I've asked. Not one thing. Sometimes he has to educate me to be able to handle the things I'm asking for. I remember one time I was so upset because I didn't get it right away. But then for the next 3 months, he really went me through some things, and I kept saying, why am I going through these kind of... And then I got the power. But I realized when I got it, I thank God that I got it at that point, and not the point where I was when I asked for it. I'm glad he enlightened me. You see? So you may be praying for something, and you may have to go through something to get it. The go through is because you're holding on to something. See, the go through. If you say, I null and void this, you have perfect faith, then you let it all go. Let the past go. Be here present. Live here, right now. Present. Be perfect now. Be full of love now. Be full of wisdom now. Are you ready to live on the edge of the old self and on the edge of the new self, going into the new self constantly, being reborn every day? This is the first day of the rest of my life. From this moment on, I am. From this moment on, I am. This moment on, I am. See how that's changing? Since I am. Constant presence, constant consciousness. Instant, spontaneous, full of power. Did you know that there was a man named Samson? Remember him in the Bible? In those days, the court jesters used the jawbone of jackasses to make fun. They go, and, you know, do these things, and tell jokes and go, Well, they wanted to catch Samson. And so they started taxing the people and threatening the people and all these kind of things until they turned him over. He says, now, I'm truly turned over to you. They say, certainly, you're all chained up, you're all tied up and everything. He says, and my people have fulfilled, they said they would turn me over and all this to you. Yes. And he says, thank you, God. Show them the strength of you. And he goes, breaks his chains, tears off his ropes, grabs the jawbone of an ass, and wipes out over 1,000 that was trying to take him, trying to kill him. They had swords and shields. They had to keep attacking over their dead, trying to get to him. And they went away in defeat. Because God was with him. Not even 1,000 could stand against him. Or 10,000 could stand against him. When God is with him. There was an organization. It was called the Bridge to Freedom. And its headquarters is now in New York. But you know where it started? It started in Cuba. And there was this man that was in the Bridge to Freedom. And they caught him. And he put his white light around him, strong enough to stop a bullet, and they're going to kill him. So they load the guns, they shoot, and the bullets drop. So they load the gun again, and they shoot again, and the bullets drop. And he's saying, this power of God's light is surrounding me, is strong enough to stop a bullet. You ever hear me say that? You know the white light? Let this be strong enough to stop a bullet. I mean that literally. And they let him go. They deported him because they couldn't kill him. He went to New York and he continued the Bridge to Freedom. God can do anything. He has supernatural powers. He can do anything, you see. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in instant power, instant consciousness, instant healing, instant wisdom, instant illumination? You think you have to go through a lot of things? surrender to God, be with God, you will know all things. God will reveal to you all you need to know. It's amazing. It is amazing. I read books. I found lots of beautiful books, but I didn't find God in books. I went to lots of teachers, but I didn't find God through just teachers. I found God by being with God, by those books leading me to God, or those teachers leading me to God. They were the doorways to light, the doorways to the illumined. So when you are learning, realize how long you've already been on the path. Realize God doesn't take no time. His speed is instant. Physical speed may be one thing. Physical strength. It would take some kind of strength to fight against 1,000. I'll tell you, we get tired carrying a bunch of groceries in the house to feed the animal. Oh, we didn't laugh at that one. Yeah. And we do lots of things for our animal. Do you do a lot for your soul? Do you do a lot for spirit? You see, you may be neglecting feeding your soul and your spirit. You know how you feed your spirit? Be with God. How to feed your soul? Be with God. That fulfills your soul. Is there any questions? Master classes are different, huh, than 9-month training. Okay, let me give you a very simple analogy. It's similar or like, but not the same as. When you are driving down a road on a hot summer day, and you notice like there's a crystalline movement, like a movement, and you can see through it, and it makes things. It's that kind of crystalline movement, the crystal fire. But if you're in a clear crystal, there's nothing to see, it's just clear. See? But the Holy Spirit is like a fire. They sometimes call it like a fire, a breath, like the wind, like descending like the dove. You see? It's like that, it's that movement. And when you're in it, you feel that. It's not just out here, you're looking at it. It's all around you, in you, through you, you are that. You see, in that crystal. And so it's like that. It's like, it looks like heat coming off of a road. But it's like that crystal, like that, like that. No, okay, that's because there's the fear of the unknown in that. That's your fear. And the gray, I got that. It could have been some other fear, but it was somebody else in the room. But see, I got a word of knowledge. That was your fear. The word of wisdom here. See, the gray gives clairvoyance. Because gray is on the edge of black and white. Right? Gray is on the black edge of black and white. Okay. Crystal is transcendent to the two. It's not on the edge of them, it's transcendent to the two. You see the difference? So you may be on the edge of dark and light, and the fear is, I might fall into the darkness. I might lose myself. And so some, when they get to that level, it's that's what fear is, to being lost. You see, being taken away or losing a consciousness, or so dark you can't see. You know, when Moses was asking for the people to be free, he put darkness on the land of Egypt. And they couldn't even see each other for 3 days. It was pitch dark, and they didn't have no light. None of their light would work. But in the Israelis' house, they all their light worked. So they were always illumined. Then they called on the, there was this one strip, Goshen strip, and they called the pestilence of the flies. The flies were all over, but there was a wall, like, and the flies didn't come past that wall into the Goshen. See, God can do anything. He can control a fly, sure, he can control, you know, anything else that comes along. You see? So, that's that fear on the edge. You want to get the crystalline where you're in control. The crystalline is being in spirit, being with God. At the moment that comes, you start loving God, praising God, and it'll let you right out of it. It'll let you straight up out of it. sensing. So the next time, start thanking God for his presence and feeling his presence, and then there will be no fear of the unknown, because you'll know you're in the presence of God. Yes?
I just wanted you to repeat that part there about dual personality is a problem for being able to meditate. Read it like that. You know, loving and all that, right? And having dual personality is a problem for meditating. You said that at first.
Splitting consciousness of any kind, be caught in duality, to be self-serving and God-serving. Yeah, to be caught in duality, well, that's you are serving the monopoly of your attention. If you are being conscious in your body all the time, then you'll be serving the body and all of its needs. If you're conscious in the mind, you'll be serving the mind. If you're conscious in spirit, you'll be in the spirit. But say you have some consciousness here, some consciousness there, and when you try to go, you get split. You start getting this pull. Shall I go here? Shall I go there? You see? That's the point you make decision. You must become one-pointed. You must make a free will choice to break this duality, to break the contrary. See, that's your problem. The word of knowledge just comes. You're doing things, you want to do one thing and something else happens. See, so there's a contrary spirit coming to you. You want to have happiness, instead you get sad. You want to be still, your mind talks. See, okay, that's the contrary spirit. You just say, in the name of God, I cast this contrary spirit out. And focus on God's presence. Concentrate on your breath. You have to discipline yourself, because see, in your subconscious mind, you have agreed with the contrary. You said, oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I did that. Yes. See, now you believe that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have said that. See, you have to stop believing that. And the only way you can stop believing that is to prove to your own mind, through your discipline, another way. So every time that comes up, that is a stepping stone to success. In fact, that's the point of your power. And if you've got that real heavy, you will be really peaceful if you transfer it to peace. You see? You'll be a great healer if you transfer your consciousness to the healing. Because you'll use that as a stepping stone, something to push away from, to go to something else, to become at one, one-pointedness. So the mind must become one-pointed. And you must decide, okay, this is what I'm going to do, this is the way I'm going to go, and no matter what comes up, I'm going to transmute that, I'm going to change it. I'll tell you what happens. If they're negative spirits, they will stop coming around because they don't want to be changed. That I used to go looking for them. I would go out and search for those spirits, and I would get a hold of them and transmute them. I was doing light work, and I would go out and disconnect vortexes and people are misusing energy. I'd go out and I would invoke those spirits and then transmute them, those kind of things. I would take them off of people, and I guess some people thought I was a little crazy, because I was just, if I saw it on the street and somebody had it, I'd go up to them and take it off of them. And I had some of those people come later saying, I didn't know what you were doing at the time, I thought you were crazy. Because I just go up and start talking to the spirit, and they think I was talking to them. You see? But they knew I wasn't talking to them, but they thought I was talking to them. I says, well, you knew I wasn't talking to you. No, that wasn't me you were talking to. Because I wasn't that. I says, that's right. And when you said you weren't that, that was the moment you freed yourself from that spirit. As soon as you said, I'm not that, though, what this guy is saying, that's the moment you got free. Well, as soon as they do that, then I grab that spirit and I take it away from them. And I would wrestle with it. I would hold on to it. I would hold on to it, and then I would take and transmute it. And pretty soon, I would see people, they would be coming up the street, and if they had one of those spirits, they'd go off on the other side of the street. I cross the street, and they cross the street. And sometimes I was chasing them. And so they thought I was, now I thought, well, I better stop this, you know, because the police might get me and think I'm, you know, trying to attack people. But you know, when I first started out, I was very zealous. I was going to get those spirits, man. And I would see a black spirit and zap, I'd turn it to light. And you could even hear the crackling of the transmutation in the room. People would hear the transfer. Rebecca's, many times we'd be sitting in it. Because if you could hold your attention on that spirit, it can't move. You see, if there's a spirit moving, if you lock onto it, and you don't move your mind, you don't move your consciousness, it'll hold that spirit. Another way of holding them is with a bell. This one has one continuous tone. Sounds like crystalline sounds, and they were in your ears. This vibration holds spiritual energies. Look around, you start seeing little lights flashing and sparks.